SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Pro football full circle.
Circling. Oh, look out! Gronkowski didn't have the angle! Touchdown! Aho Kenyon Drake! A miracle!
Murray heaves it downfield. It is caught! It is caught! DeAndre Hopkins! Miraculous!
Fires, Mike's it.
Oh, we are rolling right here on Pro Football Full Circle. Joe Lisi, George Kurtz, right here on the Sports Grid Network, Sirius Channel 204, talking all things NFL, NFL 360, you might say. We touched on a couple of conferences, the AFC East, NFC East, in previous shows. Today, we're going to concentrate on the NFC North. A little bit of breaking news, George, that we just heard in the break was Richard Sherman was just arrested on domestic violence charges in Seattle, denied bail. I wanted to bring it up because it is breaking, right? News of the day in the NFL with training camps looming. Any thoughts about Richard Sherman? I mean, because a high-character individual, right? I mean, a little bit shocking news out of Seattle right here.
Yeah, I think shocking is set to is the right word here. I mean, I don't know what to tell you about these players and how they get themselves into trouble, especially in this day and age. You can't be doing stuff like this. Now, I don't know the details here other than what you just said there. So, I mean, it's a surprise. It's always a surprise to me. It's what coaches fear the most, right? After the last mini camp, when pretty much they have most of the month of July off, what's going to happen? And you see Andrew Brandt, you follow him on Twitter. He always, when he used to be general manager of the Packers, he used to always be afraid of phone calls from unknown numbers in July because he knew that meant somebody was in trouble and they needed
and you know, with training camp starting, and this is the thing, that obviously no news is good news, right? When hear any type of major developments for a particular team, you start to say, okay, you know what? Maybe they're locked and dialed in, right? You know, there's not a lot of off-the-field distractions. You never want to see this, not just for Richard Sherman, but for any type of rookie, any type of marquee player, or any player in particular, right before training camp, because this can drag a team down. Now, I'm not suggesting that's what happens in this type of situation, but it is a possibility, right? The less the team has to worry about off the field is really a benefit, right? As long as they can concentrate on the game plan, what's in front of them, winning position battles. Let's just worry about the season, get to the end result, which is most likely a Super Bowl title, right? That's what teams want to see. And when you look at this division that we're going to break down right here, the NFC North, I think there's a couple of contenders here. Now, you talk about Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. We about Kirk Cousins in Minnesota winning the playoff game a couple of years ago against New Orleans, right? But what does the real future hold for a team like the Chicago Bears? Now Justin Fields there, does he start week one? I know that they said Andy Dalton is the starter. And really, is Detroit in a rebuild? Are they really in a rebuild? Because when you look at the FanDuel question of the day, will Detroit win 5 games this year? I don't know if they can win 5 games for the next 2 or 3 years based off of the foundation that they have right here.
I can't argue with you. Now, once again, I'd like to have a debate on this show where you and I are pretty much stock and barrel here. I don't mind you trading Stafford. You got a mint for him, and because of what you said and the fact that I agree with it, you weren't going to be good with him anyway. You know, so you might as well get what you can for him. By the time you were going to turn this organization around, it was probably going to be a couple of years, and he'd be at the end of his, of his skill level. So it is what it is. But Galladay also left. Your receiving core is a work in progress here, big time. Your running backs, you keep signing them and drafting them. You might want to just go at one guy and see what's going on here. We'll see what Swift can do here with Jamal Williams, you know, as a second choice. Goff, he had that one magical Super Bowl run. Other than that, he's been average at best here. I think when I see Goff, someone who's seeing the rush. That Rams offensive line was not very good. I think he's last couple of years, he has seen the rush, and he's seeing it rather than looking down the field. I think that's hurt him. A lot of throws off his back foot, not stepping into the throws. I think that's been an issue here. We'll see if maybe Detroit, better offensive line, can protect him more. And I do like the moves that they've made there, because I think that's, once again, I think it's, you can make an argument it's one of the most important positions in football, outside of maybe a quarterback, maybe a cornerback as well, but and a pass rusher, offensive line, you need that. It helps the running game. It helps the passing game, which therefore can keep your defense off the field at all. But I think Detroit's going to have some issues, to put it nicely.
Do you think these fan bases are excited, more importantly? Do you think the Detroit fan base is excited? Do you feel like the Chicago fan base is excited? I mean, it can only be excited, right, if they have something to look forward to. And the only thing to get excited about is Justin Fields in Chicago. What do you get excited about Detroit? Do you get excited about Dan Campbell? Do you get excited about a Jared Goff? I mean, who are you getting pumped up for? Penei Sewell? Which guy or which player in that organization is saying, fans, you know what? There is a future here.
I'm looking at the roster real quick here. I mean, if you're trying to say, I mean, who's, I guess the question would be, who's the face of the franchise?
Exactly.
I don't know who you're getting excited about. Who's the face of the franchise? Penei Sewell? You're not going to be an offensive lineman. I don't see that. I don't see one, Joe. I don't.
And that's going to be the major question. When George and I come back, we'll dive right into the Detroit Lions and Dan Campbell, Joe Lisi, George Kurtz, right here on the grid. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Back on Pro Football Full Circle, Joe Lisi, George Kurtz, breaking down the Detroit Lions, 5-11 last year, but the team lost 8 of the last 10 games by an average margin of defeat of 17.5 points per game. The rocket scientist out, Dan Campbell in, and there's optimism, I think, with new quarterback Jared Goff at the helm, George. But we left off last segment in terms of that marquee player. What is the face of the franchise? There is no Billy Sims. There is no Barry Sanders. There's DeAndre Swift and Jamal Williams, maybe. But who's the guy that fans are getting excited about in Detroit right here?
I don't think there is a guy. All right, I think, once again, Campbell is somewhat charismatic as a head coach. I mean, he's had some interesting press conferences, but really, can you sell that kind of head coach to be the guy? I said, who are you selling to the fans, to the media? Who's on the front page of the media guide? Seriously, who's on the front page? Swift?
Anthony Lynn.
Your running back? Hawkinson? Goff? Really? Good luck. Like I said, I think this team will be in the running for certainly a top five pick, maybe the number one overall pick next season.
Well, this team average, and this is the intriguing part of when the breakdown, when you look at Detroit as a whole, right? In 2020, they averaged 93 rushing yards per game. That ranked 30th in the NFL. They were only averaged about 256 through the air. A majority of that was with Matt Stafford. They converted 41% on third down. Now, the defense was atrocious last year. 134 rushing yards allowed. That ranked 28th in the NFL. That secondary got abused with Jeff Okuda there. I know he didn't live up to expectations. They ranked 30th, giving up 284 passing yards to opposing offenses. But you have Anthony Lynn as the offensive coordinator and Aaron Glenn as the defensive coordinator here. My question to you is this. For an identity in a team with a philosophy of, you know, pound the rock between the tackles, right? We have Ragnow there. We have now Sanae Poole. We have you know, two complimentary running backs, DeAndre Swift and Jamal Williams. We had three running backs last year with Kerryon Johnson and Peterson there. They only average 93 yards on the ground per game. You become one-dimensional. And Anthony Lynn, as you know, George, from his days with Justin Herbert, even though Herbert put up numbers last year at the end, the season was over, Anthony Lynn wants to win games 17-10. He gets nervous if he has to score over 24 points per game. So how is this team going to show an identity offensively in 2020?
I mean, listen, I don't think they're going to have a choice but to try and keep the ball on the ground just because they're not going to score 28 points a game. So they're going to have to try to win games 20-17, 20-13, 20-14, 17-14, whatever it might be. But I don't see this. Listen, it's going to be a bad season. That's the bottom line here. But I think they're going to pass a lot in the second half because they'll be behind. It's not like defense is a lockdown defense. Okay, the defense will keep you in the game. You know, then you try and win it with offense in the fourth quarter. Like, so there's a team or two that does still play that kind of football. But then they're not built this way anywhere. Really, anywhere. You look at last year's number one pick, Okuda, he hasn't really panned out yet. Cornerback could take a while. We'll see how it happens. But Detroit has a lot, and I mean a lot of work to do. Like I said, I see this team. I don't think they're a one-win team or a two-win team. I don't think any team is quite that bad this year. And like I said, the division, I don't think the division is all that strong, especially if Rodgers doesn't come back. If he does come back, well, that's interesting. I think Minnesota is a good team. I think Chicago, if they go with Dalton, I think that's a huge mistake. But what are we seeing here? What's your upside here? If everything went right for them, 6 wins? 6-11?
No.
If that's your upside, you have a problem. And I can easily see this being 3-14, 4-13.
Yeah, what's interesting, and what you have to explain to me, because I don't get it, what is the difference between Matt Patricia and Dan Campbell? What is the difference? You needed to get Dan Campbell there? I mean, to do what? To just hold ship? To be a bridge coach? I mean, what does Dan Campbell bring to the table outside biting ankles and kneecaps? Outside of that statement, what does he bring to the table? Anything that the mad scientist couldn't bring you over the course of the last 3 years. So that's what I need to see. It's not like you brought in an Urban Meyer that you say the guy won at the collegiate level multiple national championships. Let's give him a shot, a polarizing head coach. You bring in Dan Campbell, who gives you what, a middle-of-the-road type of team, blue-collar work ethic? All right, you can make the assessment that he's like a Joe Judge type of guy, but he's nowhere near 39 years old. So that's the problem that I have in terms of this hire. And more importantly as well, their schedule is ridiculous. I'm sorry. It is very difficult. And that's why FanDuel, I think, put the prop up at over 5. They're giving you positive money there, plus 100, right? So basically, plus 100, over 5 wins. You said best scenario, they get 6. But, George, I'll give you this. They start off with San Francisco, at Green Bay, Baltimore, at Chicago. Nagy's terrible, so we'll give him that win. At Minnesota, Cincinnati, maybe with Zach Taylor, but Joe Burrow's there. At L.A., Philly, Jalen Hurts will pull that game out, and then a bye week. So how do you see that first month of the season going, or first month and a half for the Detroit Lions?
I mean, like I said, if everything goes right, you know, everything, and this is what's sad. Everything goes right, they're still starting off, oof. I mean, where's your win? In Chicago? Okay, I guess if everything goes right, you could win that game. And then, okay, Cincinnati. So you're talking 2 wins. 3. If everything goes right, I can see you getting 3-5. And that's if everything goes right. You beat Chicago in Chicago, and at home, you beat Cincinnati and Philadelphia. But, you know, the odds are that's not going to happen. You know, I'm not so sure you can beat any of those teams. I'm just saying if things go right, those are 3 teams that aren't great that maybe you can get by. But the problem is, against Cincinnati, you're going to score points. Burrow, he's going to be healthy for week 1 anyway, but he'll be back certainly by week 6, and they'll score points on you. The question is, I don't know if they can stop anybody, but can you keep up with them? I don't think you can. So I think that's a loss against Cincinnati, I do. Philadelphia, okay, we don't know what Hurts is going to be. I can certainly see that being, at the very least, a close game, maybe even a W. Same thing with Chicago, especially if Dalton is still at quarterback in week 4. So I see, like I said, best case scenario for me is 3-5, but probably more along the lines of 2-6 after 8 games.
Yeah, and then you look at the road games right after the bye, at Pittsburgh, at Cleveland, they're not winning any of those. And then Chicago, Minnesota, at Denver with Fangio there. He's another head coach. He's dead man walking as far as I'm concerned. It's amazing how these defensive-minded coaches just can't get it done in terms of a team atmosphere and just team philosophy. So at Denver, we'll give him the at Denver game. All right? We'll say, you know, but Teddy Bridgewater's there. And if Aaron Rodgers doesn't go to Denver, I still like Bridgewater to win that job, right? Kyler Murray in Arizona, they're not beating them. And then we'll give them one of the last three wins at Atlanta, at Seattle, Green Bay. We'll give them the Atlanta game somehow, some way that Jared Goff, let's say, outduels Matt Ryan. So we're at four. It's I think that's best scenario for this team. Best scenario is four wins. I just don't have any confidence in Campbell. And on top of it, you mentioned Okuda, right? A complete bust last year. All the hype. We know about the former Ohio State cornerbacks like Eli Apple with the Giants, right? So, you know, change of scenery did him better in New Orleans. But at the end of the day, the pressure's on him to step up. He just got named by the USA Today, a writer there, as the breakout player for 2021 on the defensive side of the ball. I don't see it in any capacity. He looked like a deer in the headlights. But give me your thoughts about this secondary with Will Harris and Jeff Okuda at the helm, and throw in old man Quentin Dunbar there as well.
Well, listen, that's nice of the guy from USA Today to say that he's going to be the breakout player. I think you're 100% correct. I think he was, I think Darren Hillites is a really, really good analogy there. I think he'll get better. I do. But to say he's going to go from, going from zero to 180, he's going to do a complete 180 in 1 year, I think he'll be better. I do. I certainly don't think he'd be any worse. So I think he'll get better, but I don't think he's going to be the best turnaround player in 1 year. I don't. I think it's hard for a cornerback. I think the good news is this. I think for the secondary, I don't think they'll be passing you all that much in the second half because they won't have to. They'll have a lead. Teams will be trying to run out the clock because they won't need to throw the ball as much. So I guess you could look at it that way. So I think Detroit's in a lot of trouble. I think this is a hard under for me.
Well, let me ask you this, because we all know about fantasy, right? Which player can you hang your hat on in terms of a fantasy perspective? You feel more confident in Swift or Williams at the running back position, or you think it's more of a split workload between the two backs this year?
I think Swift is a running back, too. So give me Swift as an RB2. I'll take him. And Hockenson's a tight end one.
When we come back, we'll be breaking down Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Rolling through the NFC North right now. We just talked about the Detroit Lions. We're going to turn our attention to the Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers. 13-3 last year. The team went on a roll at the end of the regular season, 1-6 straight, including a playoff win over the LA Rams. They won those seven games at the end of the year by an average margin of victory of 14.8 points per game. But we all know about the news surrounding their marquee MVP quarterback, Aaron Rodgers. Will he stay? Will he go? MVP performance last year, over 4,000 passing yards, 48 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. George, can this team, without Aaron Rodgers, with Jordan Love at the helm, get to the playoffs, or more importantly, even break 500 this year?
Oh, man. I don't think so. I don't. You know, brand new quarterback. This team relied on Rodgers, right? They just relied on Rodgers. I understand the offensive line is still one of the best in the game. You got a good running game. You still got Devontae Adams, but you still need the quarterback to get him the ball. You still need that quarterback to get him the ball. So if there was a prop for that, which of course there will be eventually if Rodgers is not going to play, we'll see the numbers go down here. I'd vote no, that they wouldn't be a 9-8 team with Jordan Love. I'd have to go below that.
Yeah, I would too. I would too. And I know there's some mixed sentiment regarding Jordan Love. I've seen him at Utah State. Good quarterback. I'm not sold in terms of is he game ready. I'll give you a comp. I feel like Green Bay did this already with Brett Hundley. you know, from UCLA. They brought in Brett Hundley, couldn't pan out as a backup quarterback. I understand LaFleur, different type of scheme, different type of system, different playmakers, but if it couldn't work with Brett Hundley, who I thought was a much better quarterback than Jordan Love, why are we thinking it's going to work with Jordan Love in 2021? That being said, I mean, the biggest thing was a balanced offense last year, right? They pounded the rock for 132 yards per game. That ranked 8th in the NFL. They threw for 256 through the air. That ranked 9th in the NFL. The most glaring statistic, George, and this is a testament to not just the offensive line, but Aaron Rodgers. They converted 51% in terms of third down conversions. That was first in the NFL. You're telling me you're going to allow that offense to sustain drives, especially with the fourth quarter lead for extended periods of time. That's a main reason why Green Bay was 13-3 last year.
I mean, listen, Rodgers, we know, maybe the best quarterback in the game right now, certainly one of them, everything he can do. And you know, you bring up the rushing numbers. This is not a knock against any of the running backs. They're all great. But a big part of that is because defense have to pick your poison. And they're going to pick to stop Rodgers, to keep those safeties back, to stop the quick six, the quick 7 points. So that's what they're going to do here in the running game. You know, hey, it's death by a thousand cuts or death by a gunshot. So they're going to take the thousand cuts here, that maybe we're going to fumble. Maybe we're going to stop behind the line of scrimmage, stop that drive there. So if Rodgers is not there, plus it'll be a letdown. You know, I think right now most of the players figure out, okay, he'll be here eventually. He may do this a while, but eventually he's showing up. Maybe it's early August, mid-August, whatever it might be, but he's coming. He's not going to miss game checks. He's not going to take those daily fines in training camp. But right. It'll be if all of a sudden it's Love, I mean, the air's out of that balloon. The air's right. Just out of that balloon. I think this team will have big-time problems.
See, here's the problem I have with Rodgers. Even if he does come back, right? They always say, like, when you work and you love your job, you never work a day in your life, right? And obviously playing the great game of football, these guys aren't working, right? It's something that they love to do. But if you're Aaron Rodgers and you're disgruntled with your organization, and let's just say you do come back, are you all in at that point? And I know they can turn it on and turn it off, so they say. But when there is adversity, let's say a two-game losing streak, do all those problems that surfaced in the offseason start to come back? And that's the biggest concern. Like, I think people are just saying, yeah, Rodgers comes back, we'll just be 13-3 again. Davante Adams is there. I'm not so sure about that. Do you have any opinion on that as well? In terms of whether he'll be all in a la Tom Brady last year in Tampa Bay?
Well, I don't think we can compare it to Brady. Brady had something to prove, right? He was going to Tampa Bay to win as many games as he could. He ended up winning the bowl, of course, because he wanted to stick it in everyone's face, including Belichick's and New England, that it was me. It wasn't Bill, it was me. So he was on a thing to prove here. So if Rodgers were to go to another team, sure, I think he'd have that same thing, but I don't think he's going to another team. I think he's going back to. I don't think he has a choice but to go back to Green Bay next year. I think he's going back to Green Bay next year and he gets traded after next year. And as soon as the draft passed, that was the last chance to trade Rodgers. Because unless Green Bay is totally going to mail in the season, sure, mm-hmm. They could trade Rodgers now. But what are they going to get back to help them this season? Nothing.
Right.
Nothing. Yeah. You're going to get back next year's draft capital, which is great. It might be an incredible haul. But how does that help you now? It doesn't. It doesn't. What I worry about more with Rodgers, Joe, is let's say what you said is correct. You know, he does come back to Green Bay, and I think he will, whatever it be, 2 weeks, a month, whatever it might be. Does he get off to a slow start to the season? Because how prepared is he? I know he's a Hall of Famer. You know, I'll just step on the field and do everything, blah, blah, blah. Is he training the same, though? Not working with the team? I know it's all the same place. He knows that. But I do wonder if he gets off to a slow start to the season. That being said, you know, first game's at New Orleans. No Drew Brees there. It's with Jameis Winston. I think they can get by that. Second game's Detroit. That's a W on a Monday night in Green Bay, nonetheless. Well, San Fran, Pittsburgh. San Fran's certainly tough with that defense. That's probably the game I worry about, you know, the most. Week 3 at San Fran. But if things go wrong for them, you can play Pittsburgh week 4. I get a part. Not again, go, you know, relax. It'll be all right. I can certainly see a slow start.
Yeah, it's possible. I think that the two games for me and FanDuel, our partners at FanDuel, have not put up a total, obviously, in terms of futures due to, obviously, the Aaron Rodgers situation. So we'll just go through, hypothetically, their schedule right here. The two games that stand out for me in the middle of the season, or three games, you could say, they play Washington after they go on the road to Cincinnati and Chicago. Those are winnable games, and they have the quarterback advantage, even though I love Joe Burrow. But you can't mention, you know, Green Bay going up against Cincinnati. Zach Taylor, I think, is horrible. We said that. But on the road against Arizona and Kyler Murray, and then to follow that up against Kansas City and Patrick Mahomes in Arrowhead, I think those are the two critical games that you could say and mark down in order for this team to run the table or be a 13-14 win team like they were last year. They're going to need to steal both of those games.
I mean, my FanDuel hasn't put it up there, right? Because we don't know. If I'm going to go through the schedule, I'm going to assume that Rodgers is playing. And I'm going to assume he doesn't show up, you know, September 9th, the day before. Okay. I think he shows up pretty early because I think Rodgers is a smart guy and he's going to go to himself, listen, if they're not going to trade me, I'm not going to eat all these fines. He maybe sits out a week just to make a point again, but then shows up. So I think he'll be ready to go for week one. I do. Okay. So I think the games that stick out to me, not so much the Washington game, because great defense in Washington. That offense, I don't think they can do enough against a team like Green Bay. But at Kansas City, week nine, certainly a game I'm looking forward to, because I think, once again, we could see some points there. And it is a possible Super Bowl preview, so I look forward to that. I do look forward to the week 17 Minnesota, because I do wonder this. Is that the battle of a division? And maybe even home field. And then week 15, Baltimore is another game I look forward to. So those are the three games I look forward to on the Green Bay schedule. But like I said, if Rodgers is not there, if I'm wrong, then I don't care. This is just, at best, an average football team.
Well, I'll tell you this. In terms of average as well, I think that defense, I know on paper they seem like big and statistically stout, but, you know, ranked 13th in terms of rush defense last year, 7th in the secondary, giving up 221 per game. But they don't wow me in any capacity. Kenny Clark leads that front seven, the defensive tackle. And then you have Preston Smith at the linebacker position. You need Rashawn Gary. I mean, drafted out of Michigan, this guy was supposed to be a world beater, right? Never lived up to expectations in Ann Arbor. Comes to Green Bay. Okay, he's a productive type of linebacker, but you need him to be elite. You need him to be a playmaker on the defensive side of the ball. Hasn't done it yet. Now, Jair Alexander from Louisville, an elite corner, but does this defense scare you in any way? I mean, Tom Brady, that breakdown at the end in terms of the divisional championship game, right, where the Super Bowl was on the line. How do you let Scotty Miller burn your secondary right before halftime? I understand it was a mental breakdown, but, I mean, do they scare you in any capacity that you say this is a top 10 defense this year?
No, this is a defense that relies on Rodgers. Sort of the same thing I just said about the opposite of the bad teams. The good teams, well, they're one-dimensional against the Packers in the second half. You know you have to score points. And if you're behind, and you have to throw the ball. You have to throw the ball. Can't run. Can't run because right. You can't eat up clock and take a chance. You're not going to gain that yard. You have to throw the football. Makes you one-dimensional. Makes it much easier on a defense when they know what's going to come. The quarterbacks know, okay. The defensive ends know. Quarterback's going back. Pin your ears back. Yeah. Let's go get them. Let's go get them. So I think that's the best thing about Rodgers. Rodgers helps the defense out as much as he helps out the offense.
Right, right. And we'll see how that plays out for the defensive side of the ball. In terms of the fantasy perspective, George, we always look what players can bring you value, right? We know about Aaron Jones. Versatile player. They were looking to ship him to Miami. He stays in Green Bay. But I think A.J. Dillon. This guy is a bruiser. He is poised, I'm telling you, for a 1,000-yard season. At the end of the year, A.J. Dillon will be a bigger component to that offense than I believe Aaron Jones. I think Aaron Jones will be more utilized in terms of the short to intermediate passing game. A.J. Dillon will be wearing down defenses. He has thighs that are the size of tree trunks. So keep an eye out for A.J. Dillon. And then you got to look at the newcomer, Amari Rodgers from Clemson. He could be that Tyreek Hill type of player.
But I mean, A.J. Dillon, his thighs are bigger than my chest. that's wow. Just wow when you see that man. It's oof. But I think, once again, if you go back to the running back, I think this is what ticks off Aaron Rodgers so much. Why the hell did we draft Dillon if we're going to re-sign Jones? You know, that's
amazing.
I think that's what makes him mad.
It really is. It's amazing that wide receiver core led by Adams needs to step up. When we come back, we'll be talking about Chicago and Minnesota. Joe Lisi and George Kurtz on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
To Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Minnesota started the season in 2020, 1-5. They then proceeded to win 6 of the last 10 down the stretch. They won those 6 games by an average margin of victory of 5 points per game. Lost 4 tough games down the road in 2020 by 10 points in terms of average margin of defeat. But all the eyes are on this team this year. Our fans and friends at FanDuel have posted an 8.5 futures total on this team, juice to the over, heavy, minus 170. You like that, George? You like that? I like that. This is my team to steal the division this year from Aaron Rodgers, Jordan Love, any other team that you might have your eye on. This, in my opinion, the Minnesota Vikings in 2021 are the breakout team of the NFC. I love them, plus 40-1 in terms of the Super Bowl contender this year.
I like the value. I definitely like the value at Minnesota. And listen, we all know that it starts with Cousins. All right, can you be that quarterback? And you know, I think he gets too much grief. I do think I don't think he's great by any means. I'm not saying he's top 8 or the top quarter of football, best quarterbacks in football. I don't think that. But I don't think he's as bad as some people pretend he is. That being said, we love the running game. Dalvin Cook, if he can stay healthy. Although Madison, as a backup, is great. So I think they're in strong hands there. Jefferson, what an addition last year. Generally, it takes wide receivers more than a year or more than training camp, an abbreviated one at that, to figure it out. He had no issues there. Love what he's done there. Thielen, he's fine. Irv Smith, tight end. Good tight end there. We know the offensive line was a work in progress. Still is, but it's solid. It's not pathetic here. Just bring me to the defense. You know, I still have my worries there. I think Kendricks is a great middle linebacker, one of the best in the game here. Just traded him in Dynasty League. That hurt to do here. They even made some moves in the secondary. I like what they've done there. I agree. I think obviously, if Rodgers is gone, it's Minnesota's division. I have no doubt in my mind here. As far as the NFC going, if you're going to get your 40-1, you're really going to win that? I mean, it would take some doing here. I don't think I'm worried about anybody in the East all that much, but Tampa Bay's still there. You know, I think they are the best team there, and pretty much every team in the West is a nightmare, right? Seattle, the Rams have loaded up for Bear now. They're going for it if they can stay healthy, because really with their cap situation, they have 8 great players, and it seems like everybody else. So they got to stay healthy. Arizona, we'll see what they can do. San Fran now at the quarterback. So I like where you're going with this here, but I think first they got to get out of their own division. I think this is the year to do it, because I think even if Rodgers is there, I think there's enough distraction to hurt Green Bay enough where Minnesota could pull ahead.
Totally agree. And they're like, Joe, why are you drinking the Kool-Aid on Minnesota? Why are you getting drunk on this team? I'll tell you why. Even though Mike Zimmer coached like Don Zimmer last year, right? He's completely clueless at some points during the game. They did a phenomenal job in terms of draft picks this year. Christian Darrisaw, the tackle from Virginia Tech, is just a world beater. I know he's injured now. He will be ready week one, or even if in the middle of the season he comes back, that offensive line is going to be much better. They draft Wyatt Davis, the guard from Ohio State. That's going to add more depth to that offensive line. Dalvin Cook, a dynamic running back. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. But you talk about the defense, and that's where the concerns were statistically last year. They allowed 134 rushing yards per game. That ranked 27th in the NFL. That secondary got abused. 258 total yards allowed to opposing quarterbacks. But you look at the additions that they had. Patrick Jones, the defensive end from Pittsburgh, led the ACC last year with 9 total sacks. His teammate, Jalen Twyman, he had the off-the-field incident. He's going to recover. He's going to be there. This was an All-American candidate during his days with with, I lost, Pat Narduzzi in Pittsburgh, was an All-American type of player, took a minor step back last year and opted out, but I'm telling you, he is a dominant force in the middle, and then you add Chaz Surratt, the leading tackler from North Carolina. This defense is going to be aggressive, they're going to be physical, and when you add a secondary leader like Patrick Peterson from Arizona, they're going to be much improved statistically this year if they can sustain drives. Cousins cuts down on mistakes. I'm telling you, you look at their schedule, George, I'm going out. 13 wins by Minnesota this year.
Ooh, 13. And hey, don't you disparage Don Zimmer, by the way. All right?
No,
don't you dare.
I know.
Love Don Zimmer. Although getting, going after Pedro Martinez, getting thrown on like a rag doll at 82 years old, probably not the brightest thing you've ever done. But that being said, okay, Minnesota, 13 wins. Yep. I like you going out here. I'm not going to go that high. Without knowing for sure about Rodgers. Because we'll go for the opposites. It seems like every team, we're looking for wins here. We're looking for losses for Minnesota to get your 13 wins. All right, Arizona, Seattle, weeks 2 and 3. I'll give you one loss there. You're going to lose to one of those teams. Then again, you play Dallas, Baltimore, Chargers, Green Bay, San Fran. That 5-game stretch there. You're losing at least two. You're not going to
lose
five. No, you're losing at least two. Dallas at Baltimore, at the Chargers, Green Bay at home, at Niners. You're losing at least two. I'm sorry. You're losing at least two.
I don't know about that. I'll tell you this. The Dallas game, Dallas beat them, right? Dallas was, I believe, a 6.5-point underdog, won that game 31-28 in Minnesota. But there's no guarantee that Dallas's defense, even with Micah Parsons there, is going to be much more improved. Dalvin Cook might run for 400 yards in that game. There's the possibility it could be a shootout. Right. But we'll give you Dallas. At Baltimore, I understand Lamar Jackson. But, if Minnesota gets them into a shootout, anything's possible. Justin Herbert, the same thing. All right, let's say they lose Green Bay, but they played Green Bay tough last year in Lambeau Field. Dalvin Cook had a field day in that game. So you can't say that's a gimme. And then at San Francisco, I'm telling you, this is the one team, too, everybody's banking on because of the easy schedule. I think San Francisco underachieves this year. But we'll see. I mean, and then Detroit, Pittsburgh, at Chicago, L.A. Rams, I'm not high on. At Green Bay, we'll give them that loss.
They're
and then
losing
Chicago.
Two. They're losing two of that five, and they're going to lose one of L.A., Green Bay. I'll give you Pittsburgh, Detroit. I don't think Pittsburgh's all that great, by the way. I think they have issues. We'll talk about that. I guess tomorrow we talk about the AFC North. Chicago, fine. Rams are going to give a loss to, or Green Bay. One of those two is the loss. So that's actually four. I've given you at least four if everything goes well here. So I'm going to take the under of 13. That being said, I'm going to take the over what FanDuel says. Yeah, I will take the over there. But as far as 13, I think that's, wow, everything has to go your way here to get the 13 wins. I think they're an improved team. I do. I think they're right there with the division with Green Bay, even if Rodgers is healthy. I still think they win the division if Rodgers is out. I have really very little doubt about that. I don't like the anybody else there. Anyway, Detroit's a last place team. Chicago, we'll get to them next. But give me Minnesota. But I think I'm gonna have more around the 11 win category.
All right, that sails through their win total of 8.5, right? So they're gonna be there. 11-6. George picked them. I picked them at 13-4. Before we move to Chicago, I want to ask you: does Dalvin Cook have a shot to win the MVP this year? 1,557 yards on the ground, caught 44 passes. With an extra game, if he could stay healthy, does he have a chance? Because he's my dark horse for the MVP this year.
I'm going to say no, and this has nothing to do with Dalvin Cook. It's a quarterback-driven league, 17 games now. Some quarterback's going to throw for 9 million yards or 800 touchdowns. It's going to happen. And the only way a running back or really any player other than a quarterback can win this award is if no quarterback has a good year. It's sort of like a pitcher in baseball winning this the MVP. Yeah, it could happen if no batter has a decent year. They'll have average years, blah years. Then sure, it could happen, which it might happen this year in baseball because of pitching being ahead of hitting, or at least it was. So I'll say no, and the other reason is that Cook does have a tendency to get hurt.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll turn our attention to Chicago. I mean, a hot start in 2020. 5-1 in their first six games. All Bear fans, we're up in arms. We're going to win the division. We're going to the Super Bowl with Nicky Foles at the helm, coming in relief for Trubisky. They then lost six straight by an average margin of defeat of 8.3. points per game, and then lost a 1-3 or 4, excuse me, down the stretch to finish 8-8. Now you have Justin Fields there, but Andy Dalton named the starter already by Matt Nagy. Unbelievable to me. I am selling this team throughout 2020. I love Justin Fields. Great addition. He is the quarterback of the future, but Matt Nagy as a head coach, I'll put him in there with everybody. You could put him in there with the likes of Matt Patricia. You could put him in the likes of Vic Fangio, Zach Taylor. Matt Nagy, even though he led this team to the playoffs, a terrible play caller, especially in the red zone.
I'll go one further. Does Nagy make it through the bye week of week 10? They play. I mean, their opening schedule is okay. It's not great, but it's okay. L.A., Cincinnati, Cleveland, Detroit. You can go 2-2 there. But after that, at Vegas, Green Bay, at Tampa, San Fran, at Pittsburgh. I could see that being a 5-game losing streak, 2-7, real quick, and then right after the bye, you got Baltimore.
Right.
My God. Mm-hmm. I can see that being brutal. Just brutal here. And like I said, I think for Chicago, this season's about getting Fields ready. Getting Fields ready. I think it's a huge mistake to go with Dalton, assuming that Fields looks decent in training camp, in the mini camps. Dalton showed with Dallas last year, and he had much better weapons there. I know the offensive line was a joke, but he had much better weapons. He just doesn't have it anymore. Didn't really have it at the end of Cincinnati. So what's he going to do with the Bears here? No. I think it's going to be a trying season for Chicago. I think there is hope. I think trading up to Grant Field was the right move. I love the move they did. As an NFC East fan, hated that they gave it number one to the Giants, but it is what it is. But I don't think this is going to be their year at all.
I'll tell you this. I don't know. For me, what's the downside to start Justin Fields week one? I mean, give me a break. Give the guy an opportunity to get his feet wet, to get the experience, and set yourself up for 2022. I don't see how you can name Andy Dalton as the starting quarterback. Andy Dalton is old. He's washed up. I don't care. He looked good at the end of the year when he came back for Dallas. I don't care about that. He is a marginal quarterback. Was a good quarterback at TCU. Overexceeded expectations early on with Cincinnati, but in a playoff environment, if this team gets there, he's not winning a game. I mean, so really, why are you hanging your hat on Andy Dalton, right? That's the first thing. The second thing for me is with Chicago, that everybody raves about their defense. Statistically, they allowed 113 rushing yards per game. That ranked 15th. The secondary gave up 231 through the air. That ranked 12th. But I look at Khalil Mack. I look at Akeem Hicks. I look at Eddie Goldman, Eddie Jackson in that secondary. I think they're getting old. Is it me? There were teams that got abused that defense last year. Who's to say they just bounce back and have a big year in 2021?
Well, in regards to the defense, I think it's going to wear down again as the season goes on because the offense won't be able to move the football. All right, so I think it's going to happen. Again, here, I think it's what we saw happen last year. The numbers you brought up, listen, that's an average defense, by the way, 12-15. You're in the middle of the pack. All right, you're nothing great. So that is what it is there. As far as Dalton and Nagy naming him the number one, I'm with you here. I think it was stupid to name him number one. That being said, if he did it just in deference to Andy Dalton, okay, he's a veteran, been around, he's been a good quarterback. Not great, but good, solid quarterback. If he did it for that reason, I'm okay with it. But as soon, in my mind, as soon as Justin Fields is ready to play, he plays. And if that's week one, September 12th, then guess what? Oh, listen, Fields outplayed him. He's our number one. All Dalton is a caretaker. That's all he is. And, a veteran to help, same thing with Foles, to help Fields move on here and become the number one quarterback. But there's no way on God's green earth that Dalton should ever be started over Fields if he's ready. It doesn't make any sense. You want him to get all the rookie blues out this season here. Like I said, week one, okay, maybe you don't want him playing in L.A. against that defense. I'm okay with that. Then he plays week two. All right, fine. But he should be playing sooner rather than later.
Yeah, with Justin Fields at the helm, you have the ability to break contain with the RPO. That's why I like Fields to start. We'll come back. We'll wrap up the NFC North. Joe Lisi and George Kurtz right here on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Wrapping up the NFC North right here on Pro Football Full Circle. George, odds to make the playoffs. Chicago Bears at plus 184, yes. Minus 230, no. Detroit, you want to hear this? To make the playoffs, plus 620, yes. No, minus 1,000, and my Minnesota Vikings. I'm riding Kirk Cousins and Dalvin Cook, plus 128 still. Yes, minus 156, no. What's your best bet of those three teams with no odds on FanDuel right now for the Green Bay Packers because of the Aaron Rodgers situation?
Well, I'm going to have the Vikings getting in either way. I think even if they don't win the division, they'll be a wild card. No for the other two teams. I don't think Chicago and Detroit get in. Even with the expanded playoffs, one extra team, I don't think either one's a threat for the division. And a wild card always could happen. We don't have things going to break down for the other teams here. But Minnesota, yes. Other two, no.
Can you see all of a sudden Dan Campbell, we're cracking knees, biting ankles, we're 8-0, right? You know, plus 620. I mean, Jared Goff leading that team. I mean, we'll see. I mean, I'd be shocked. Again, shocked if they win more than four games this year. And that is the question of the day on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Will Detroit actually win five games? You're getting plus 100 right there if you think that they can go 6-11. They were 5-11 last year, but it's been a slow decline for the Detroit Lions. I mean, they won nine games a couple of seasons ago and with Matt Stafford, but even with Matt Stafford, I mean, they really couldn't get over the hump. So do you really feel that the Lions have what it takes? I'll give you this. Playoffs over the next two or three years for Detroit, just long term, yes or no?
Ugh. Certainly not this year. Next year, I would think unlikely right now because they still have a ton of work to do, and I don't think Goff's the answer there. So I said the earliest would be, so what does that mean, 23,
right. You think 23, they're a playoff team. Really?
I think that's the earliest. That's the earliest they could be a playoff team. I don't think Rodgers will be in Green Bay then either.
We're here every day during the week, Monday through Friday. We'll see you tomorrow talking about the AFC North.